Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
All right.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. And folks, have we got a treat for you. We have Tommy with Talking Tigs Podcast back with us. Tommy's a fan favorite, and he's certainly an interview favorite. Tommy knows his LSU football and is just a joy to talk to, ask questions, get his perspective on the team. He always has a lot of great information and good things to say, and today is absolutely no exception. So let's get on with the interview. Go. Welcome back, Alabama fans, and have we got a treat for you. We have Tommy with Talking Tigs Podcast back with us again. Tommy, how are you tonight?
Hey, good to be with you. One of the best weeks of the year for at least for LSU fans, I think. And so good to be talking about Alabama LSU, and excited to not making the trip to Tuscaloosa, but I'm excited to be watching it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when we spoke preseason, there were versions of ourselves that would have predicted not the path that we each took to get here, but we would have predicted here we are again, sort of cock blocking each other for the West. You know, what do you think?
Man, you know, you're right. Like, I think that a lot of people, I mean, at the time, we were both top 10 teams when preseason top 10s. I think if you look back at some of the things we both had concerns about, I think they've both ended up being true concerns. I mean, I distinctly remember talking about, you know, us, you know, having a big chance to lose that FSU game. I thought we were going to win. I thought we were, you know, be a better team at that point than we were all out of the gate. But you know, the defensive concerns, especially the defensive back concerns, and really not being able to establish a run game until moving to Logan Diggs, who I think is someone that, you know, for Alabama fans to watch out for, number three for us, you know, that was something that hampered us a little bit early in the season. And you know, similar, I remember talking to you about quarterback issues, and you know, I think Milroe is, as I've watched it, he's kind of gotten it. He's gotten the nod and is really the starter now, but you know, he's not Bryce Young, and so. You know, it's we're both in an interesting position. I feel like where it feels like teams, not, you know, in the, like, you know, I think our offense is LSU's strength. I would say probably defense is Alabama's strength, mm-hmm. But there's missing pieces on both that are, you know, that's the one thing that's keeping each of our teams away from really running away with the West and competing with Georgia. So, you know, lead out of Tuscaloosa to Atlanta, and we'll see who comes away with that ticket. Right.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Talk a little bit about, sort of peel back the curtains just a little bit there. You know, Alabama fans, you know, you know, we have to hate Auburn and we get to hate Tennessee and LSU. Sometimes I feel like, now some people say that's our biggest rivalry, and I you know, I think that's fair. Some people really hate LSU. Some people it's a team we get to play and get to really compete with. It's almost a novelty, you know, I think in all the right ways. Kind of peel back the curtain a little bit on just the mood on the fan base, right? You know, 3-2 for September, certainly no one expected that. Did that sort of rub the shine off a little bit of Brian Kelly's first year, or, you know, kind of where's the headspace just across the fan base?
I would say, you know, last year we overperformed expectations going into this Alabama game, or I guess following last year's Alabama game. I mean, LSU fans were really riding high going to the SEC championship because it really was unexpected. I think this year has almost been a little bit of a mirror of last year, where there was a lot of hype going into the season, and we've underperformed maybe the expectations we had. Now, I think that if you look at this team on paper, and then also if you look at what Brian Kelly really said throughout the offseason, through spring training, through fall camp, this team is not there yet. They're not, you know, it's like Jaden Daniels is clearly there. I mean, I think it'll be a crime if he doesn't get at least an invitation to New York. I'm not saying he needs to win the Heisman, but I mean, I think he's clearly been one of the best quarterbacks in all of college football. Aside from him and maybe Malik Nabers, you know, there's a lot of deficiencies on this team. I think after the Florida State loss, that was a huge deflator for the fan base. The Ole Miss loss, I mean, that was, you know, kind of snatching defeat out of the jaws of victory. I feel like you should have, that was one that got away. I would say I think LSU fans are disappointed in the performance thus far, in specifically in those two games. I will say, you know, for the listeners, like it or not, I think from my perspective, I think from LSU perspective, this is a year that we want to have Alabama. Like, I think it's a perfect storm for us. I think it's gonna be a really good game. I'm not saying we're gonna win and run away with it. I think it could go either way, but I like our chances with this team versus the team we're gonna be playing better than I liked our chances last year at all.
Yeah.
I think we just match up better.
Yeah, I agree. I think definitely a game of matchups here. Let me ask you this, and you sort of alluded to your answer. I was going to go to Jaden Daniels. He is a legit Heisman candidate, you think?
I mean, I think he is a legit nominee. Okay. I don't think he I don't know if I would you know, I don't know if he wins it, because you know there's so many dynamics with a Heisman winner that is really out of the player itself's control, like, you know, the Heisman moment. Now, I mean, like, maybe he has I could see him having a Heisman moment. Like, on College Game Day is in Tuscaloosa this this week. It's the last ever, this is something I think that we could all appreciate, it's the last ever primetime CBS, SEC on CBS game.
Yeah.
Because, of course, you know, the contract's running out, which for me, you know, I was thinking about it actually last week, and I mentioned this on my podcast. I was watching Florida, Georgia, and you know, it's Gary Danielson, it's Brett Nessler, and I'm like, that's what college football sounds like to me.
Yeah,
that's what SEC football sounds, because that's all I've ever known, really. Mm-hmm. And you know, not having that, so it's interesting. Like this Alabama LSU game that has been really a marquee game for the SEC on CBS will kind of close it out, which is kind of cool, but also sad because I love the theme song. and so I could see him having that Heisman moment, and maybe he runs away with it. I mean, I think that this is something maybe you'll agree with. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts. I really don't feel like there are any elite teams in college football this year. I don't feel like there are any knockout elite players in college football this year.
Right.
So it's not as clear to me as it was with a Burrow, with a Devontae Smith, with a Johnny Manziel, that, sure, okay, he's the Heisman winner, and these four teams are going to the playoff. I mean, I don't even think Georgia is as elite as they've been in the past 2 years. Are they the best team in college football? Probably. But I think you could catch any of these top five, top six teams on a bad day and, you know, have your way with them.
No, I think you're right. talk about Jaden Daniels, how tough he is. I have watched multiple LSU games this season, and I've said there's no way he keeps getting hit like that. If he gets hit like that, he won't survive the game. And there's been multiple games where I've said that. So clearly, right? I mean, he's tall, kind of lanky. Like, talk about just the grit and toughness that he possesses.
Yeah, I mean, he's really brought, you know, they talked about him during the offseason really making strides and making strides as a leader, making strides as a passer. I mean, the wheels were always there. That was, I remember Jaden Daniels before he ever, you know, even thought about coming to LSU. I remember watching him as a freshman at Arizona State in 2019. He was making, you know, he was making Sports Center top 10s off of, you know, big runs and all this kind of stuff, lighting up the Pac-12. Of course, that was with Herm Edwards when they were kind of a contender. So, of course, that feels like 10 years ago. It's weird. You know, you're right. He's definitely developed some, you know, I think last year was a little bit of a rude awakening coming to the SEC. You know, it's cliche, but guys are bigger, they're stronger. It's the four quarters in the SEC is, you know, not four quarters in the Pac-12. And so I think he's, you know, become accustomed to that, and he's definitely a lot tougher. I know I heard from somebody in the program, gosh, I forget what game it was, but there's one where he went down at like halftime, like right around halftime, he ran and got hit. And they were talking about afterwards that during halftime, they shot him up with something. He was like, I couldn't feel my entire bottom, you know, like, but that's how you have to play in, you know, in this league. Like, you know, you don't play hurt, you don't play. And you know, he's grown accustomed to that. I think Burrow is someone who showed that, you know, he was a gritty quarterback for us. And it's kind of the standard bearer. It's crazy to say, but, you know, Daniels is not far behind.
Yeah, no, that's fair. You know, you mentioned Logan Diggs. You know, he barely edges Daniels out for carries, right? And so, which is another nod for Daniels. Talk about Diggs and what he brings to the mix.
Man, so Diggs is someone who I've been high on really since he was in high school. One of my best friends is a coach at Rummel, Archbishop Rummel, which is a Catholic school in the New Orleans area. It's where Jamar Chase came from. It's where Christian Fulton came from. Some, you know, big time players. If you going all the way back, Craig Steltz, a famous safety for LSU, came from Rummel. So Diggs, I watched Diggs play his senior year, and they ended up losing in the semifinal. But I've been watching that game. Like, undoubtedly, this is the best player on the field right now. I mean, he could kind of do whatever he wanted. It was fast, strong, great hands, great awareness. You know, could run off tackle, could run between tackles. Anyway, so when he went to Notre Dame, you know, I was excited for him. But when Brian Kelly came to LSU, the one of the first things I thought was, man, are we going to get Diggs back? Because we haven't had a good running back, a really solid running back. I mean, since Clyde, really. I mean, Tyrion Davis Price was good. I wouldn't say he was, you know, lighting the world on fire. I think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is the last one we had where I were really solid. And when Diggs, of course, he didn't come back the first year, but when he came back, when he announced he was coming back this year, I got really excited. It took a few games for him to really cement himself. You know, like we do have a lot of depth. Now, I don't know if it's not depth that is like, we don't have Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson. It's not like that. Right. We have just a lot of guys. Right. And so,
but there's, you know, some names in there too. There's some names in there. Like Emery and Noah Kane. It's like, it looks like the B team all-star team that just never really sort of got it together. Right.
You know, Noah Kane was somebody I was excited about when he transferred in last year. John Emery is a five-star who it's really the curious case of John Emery. Like, I don't know what's happened. I mean, at first it was he had LASIK eye surgery. So it was like, oh, well, he couldn't see the ball for his freshman year or something like that. You know, then all the academic issues and like the NCAA won't let him play. It's very strange.
Right.
But LSU fans have had, if you follow like recruiting boards, like people, because the guy is immensely talented. Mm-hmm. Like, he has all of the traits that you'd want out of an SEC back. It's just like, we just can't get it together. the thing that I've been really excited about, and I think that Diggs has been able to do, is he is a solid, you know, a solid back. He doesn't make mistakes. He doesn't fumble. He's able to block, which is, you know, key. He's able to catch the ball out of the backfield, and he's able to get yards. And the thing that, you know, you mentioned that Daniels has almost as many carries as Diggs. Well, that's how our game, you know, it's like you can't change the way Daniels is going to play. That's his game. But having that threat of a runner other than him that we didn't have last year is a huge improvement. And I think it's a key that has really helped take our offense, you know, to the next level, because Daniels has become better. I think he's definitely become better with touch passes down the field. Other than that, his game hasn't changed that much. I mean, he still takes too many hits. He doesn't slide enough. You know, he still relies on his feet. But having Diggs and to where it takes some of the pressure off of him, and it, you know, it's just another weapon that defenses have to account for. He's been a great help to our team.
Talk about wide receivers, Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas. I mean, is that the best receiving duo in the country?
It's pretty close, I think. Yeah. I mean, Malik has had a very, very solid career. I mean, he's had a quietly excellent career. He was kind of overshadowed by Kayshawn Boutte because they came into the same class, I believe. And, you know, he's always kind of that number two guy. Now with him being able to really, you know, step up, I mean, he kind of stepped up last year when Kayshawn was out and kind of in and then didn't really want to play and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, Malik has had an incredible year. He's really a really great, I consider him a really great possession receiver. I mean, he's a guy who doesn't drop passes really. You know, he's not like Jamar Chase where I feel like he's going to just take the top off. Right. But, you know, he's definitely up there. I'd say Marvin Harrison is probably the best in the country. I think Malik's right after him. Yeah. And then Brian Thomas is a guy who's made great improvements. Another solid, you know, quietly solid career, because he's both of these guys are three year guys. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so Thomas has really made big improvements and has really learned to use his height, you know, his body advantage. He's a tall guy. He's a strong guy. I feel like it was weird. Like, he wasn't the jump ball guy. He wasn't put him in the slot and then try to get him against like a linebacker that can't really cover that kind of player. He's finally started doing that and it's been very successful, and, you know, it's opened up things for Malik, which is great. So, I'm really excited about both of them.
You know, Brian Thomas is, I mean, there's so many guys on the LSU roster that Alabama recruited. And Brian Thomas is one that I specifically remember, you know, five-star wide receiver. We really wanted him. I know I was excited about the prospects of him coming to Tuscaloosa. And first couple of years he was at LSU, I kind of thought, well, you know, maybe I'm not so disappointed that we didn't get him. And watching LSU this season, I've changed my mind. Like, holy cow, I wish he was catching passes in Crimson, because, you know, he definitely has developed into a weapon and has served you guys very well this season. Talk about the offensive line. I'm looking at, it looks like three sophomores across the line. How's the line coming? How has the line come together this fall?
You know, the offensive line is something I think that is a that the production that we've been able to get out of the offensive line is really a feather in Brian Kelly's cap, and something tangible that you can see a huge difference between before Kelly, after Kelly. You know, Will Campbell was a five-star out of actually my hometown of Monroe, Louisiana, who was the you know, crown jewel of our class and was a true freshman last year. He was heavily recruited by everyone in the country, but you know, he committed to LSU early. What people don't realize, or I mean you might realize, but he was also heavily recruited by Brian Kelly at Notre Dame. Right. And so, you know, it was a perfect storm where when Brian Kelly came down to LSU, it was like, hey, I recruited you over at Notre Dame. You're already committed here. It works out perfectly. But also in that same class, we had Emory Jones, who was a 4 or 5 star out of Catholic High in Baton Rouge. He started for us. So they're both true sophomores starting. Zalance Hurd is a freshman, 5 star out of Neville in Monroe, the same school that Will Campbell went to. And those are, you know, really cornerstones of this line that we've seen. And then, like you said, a lot of returning talent. And then, I mean, a lot of credit to Brad Davis, who's the offensive line coach. He's really been able to turn this offensive line into a very solid unit. I'm not saying, you know, they're not on an impenetrable wall that just give Daniels, you know, all the time in the world to throw, but they give a very athletic Daniels the time, more time than he maybe even needs, which is with his, you know, talent.
Right.
So, you know, they've done a really good job. I think it's an improvement year over year. It's a continued improvement. And, you know, excited about the way that they've been able, because our offense wouldn't be able to be as successful as it has been without them.
Yeah. Let me ask you, I found, I'm going to call it a curiosity on the LSU roster at the offensive line. And I know you're the guy to ask. So looking at the roster, I see Mason Lunsford, and he's listed as a redshirt senior. He's got a COVID year, and so, you know, they might call him a redshirt junior in terms of eligibility. He was a 2-year starter at Maryland, and Maryland has had some success, so they're not, you know, a schlub program. And he's from Iowa. And he's at LSU. How does that happen?
You know, Brian Kelly, he's really made it a sticking point to recruit and develop offensive line talent. Now, that's something that you know, if you look back to his teams in Notre Dame, it's something that it's kind of like, you know, you're watching the NFL draft or the pre-draft mm-hmm. coverage, and you know the big wide receiver, the top quarterback, and all that. And then there's like the number 3 or number 4 overall pick is going to be some left guard. It's probably from like Notre Dame, and you didn't really know who he was unless you're watching that, you know, school every week. But then turns out he's like a 10-year starter, and you know all that. So Brian Kelly has really been able to develop that. He developed it at Notre Dame. He developed that at Cincinnati. And so this is something that I think a point of emphasis that he has brought to LSU, something that we've really haven't had elite offensive line play consistently ever. So, I think that he's with the portal and with kind of the hand that he's been dealt, he's trying to pick up as much talent as he can get from all over. I know that, you know, Maryland, that's one of the head coach there, one of your guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mike Locksley, right?
Locksley, yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, Alabama's always had been able to develop good offensive line talent. Locksley, you know, took a lot. I think he took a lot of talent from y'all to Maryland,
mm-hmm.
Like most famously Talia.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe it's kind of a little bit of, you know, let's see if we can get a little, some talent from the Alabama derivative. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, He's been able. I mean, just this past week, LSU got the commitment of a 5-star offensive tackle in 24 class. So, and I think that's our only 5-star of the class. So it's a little different because for a lot of LSU fans, we're used to, okay, it's a wide receiver, it's a running back. Those are our 5-stars, and it's a cornerback or it's a safety. These over the past couple of years, it's been offensive tackle. Defensive, yeah, offensive, really offensive line.
The
where the bulk of our 5-stars.
Makes sense.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
All right, Tommy, I'm going to make you do it. We're gonna flip the field, and I'm gonna make you talk defense a little bit. That hasn't been the shining beacon on the LSU team this season. You know, talk about the defense. What has or hasn't come together with this unit so far this season?
I think that most basically the defensive back, we're depleted at defensive back. We don't have the talent that we're used to having. And just a lot of, like, I don't want to say bad luck, because I mean, injuries happen. It's not bad luck. It's just, that's football. But we took a gamble on a guy, and we talked about him earlier in our preseason podcast. We took a gamble on a guy named Denver Harris, who's highly touted, you know, 5-star and committed to A&M, didn't work out. He has not panned out here either. I think he's, you know, he's maybe stepped on the field a couple games, but you know, he's confirmed unavailable for this game. And lost another cornerback who was starting for us. We got him in the portal. He is also unavailable. I think he's no longer with the team now. I think that's Deuce Chestnut, I believe. It's even for LSU, for the most, like, you know, for the biggest LSU fans, you still, when the defense takes the field for the first, you know, snaps, you look and like, who do we have at corner today? So that's definitely a challenge, and that's something that's been exploited. I look at safety play as well. Now, I mean, we don't have, you know, Major Burns is a guy who's been with us, I think, for 2 years now. He originally went to Georgia. So he's not like a new transfer or a true freshman or something. But we just don't have a Jamal Adams. We don't have a Grant Delpit. We don't have, like, the safety play that we've been accustomed to. Defensive line, I think we've had a little bit of disappointments, like Mason Smith. We talked about it earlier this season. Could this be his breakout? You know, he's another 5-star out of the Houma, Louisiana. You know, he's been highly touted and was going to, you know, supposed to be the next huge defensive tackle to go on the NFL. He really hasn't had that great of a season. I feel like you know, defensive line has been good, not great, or solid, not even, you know, not exceptional. Linebackers, I think, have actually been a bright spot on the defensive side for us. They're just very young. I mean, our best linebacker is a guy named Whit Weeks, who's a true freshman out of Georgia, Watkinsville, Georgia. He's great, but he's a true freshman trying to play in the SEC.
Yeah.
So we're, you know, it's youth, it's lack of depth. And I think in today's game, not having quality defensive backs is maybe more of a detriment than it was 5 years ago, or definitely 10 years ago. You know, we probably could have gotten away with having less than great defensive backs in 2012. In 2023, you'll get exploited real quick.
Talk about the corners. Zy Alexander, you know, looks like maybe he's playing well. And I see Sage Ryan listed as a corner. I know that's another player that we recruited, and we were thinking of him, you know, projecting maybe a safety. And so when I saw him at corner, I was a little bit surprised. You talk through why that may be the case, but talk about Zy and Sage at the corner spots.
So Sage should not be playing corner. Like, okay. Your projections are correct. Okay. And I don't think he, that's not a knock on him. Sure. Like, that's not his position. He plays for us. Normally he plays nickel, okay. More at almost like a strong safety, you know? Now Sage Ryan is a guy who is another one who you really, you know, his cousin is Kevin Falk. Comes from a great, you know, football bloodline. Mm-hmm. You think he's going to be, you know, gosh, this guy is going to be so good. Hasn't really panned out. A coach friend of mine who coaches in high school ball said, because we were talking about it, and, you know, I'm just, you know how you, when you're watching a game and you're thinking to yourself, man, you know, this guy's a disaster. Like, right. where is this guy? Is a five star? What are these? You know, 247 has no idea what they're looking at.
Right.
I remember texting a buddy of mine who coaches, and he was like, "Yeah, I could have told you that," because he was recruited as a cornerback or as a you know, a defensive back.
Yeah.
And his entire senior year, he never played defense.
Oh, is that right?
So, yeah, he played all wide receiver, and you know, now as a high school coach, he says my buddy's like, that's kind of a symptom of the game, you know, like whereas, you know, maybe 10 years ago, your best player would be fine playing defense. This, you know, now with the camp, with the 7-on-7 camp, yeah, kind of world that we live in, highlight world of, you know, social media, it's all about touchdowns. It's all about big, you know, big, yeah, scores and all that, to where, you know, it's just not as much of a priority. So, Sage Ryan, I mean, I hope he does well. I wish him the best.
Right.
But I think he, you know, I'm not expecting a ton out of him just because I know he's playing out of position. That's not going to be his comfort zone. Zy Alexander is one who's, I think, you know, been decent for us, but we just don't have the guys we used to. Like, there's always been the thing of, is it Florida? Is it Ohio State, or is it LSU? Who is DBU?
Yeah.
Well, this year, it's not us. It, over time, you know, I could argue that over history, the fact that 2011, 2010, sure, team, that was DBU. I mean, I still remember the sports science thing they would do where they talked about how Patrick Peterson, yep, and Mo Claiborne could cover the entire field with just the two of them.
Yeah.
Just with how fast they were and their wingspans and everything. But this year is not that. And I think that's something that really, like, that is something where LSU fans are they don't like that. We don't like not having good defensive backs, and I think that's something that Brian Kelly needs to address.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Talk about, you know, earlier in the season, it seemed that some of the negative reporting or negative opinion, you know, directed at the LSU defense was the, I'll say, the misdeployment of Harold Perkins, sort of the reassignment of his role. Sort of wrap that story up for us. What was it early on? Maybe how it's evolved. He was such a world beater last year, and it seems like, and I hate to say, maybe his play is not at the same level, but it feels like it's not at the same level. To kind of walk us through that.
I mean, I think it's fair to say that it's not at the same level, and you know, it's kind of a he said, she said, of whether it's a scheme thing or is it, you know, is it him or is it a little bit of both, or is it that teams are kind of, you know, have gotten a year of tape on him and are able to account for him. And maybe we don't, and because we don't have the talent at safety, we don't have the talent at corner, and we're not having the great production that maybe we need out of the defensive line, you know, maybe it's not as opportune for him to make those kind of big highlight plays that we saw last year. I mean, I wasn't there were a lot of LSU fans calling for Matt House's head after some of those first games because of having Harold Perkins basically play middle linebacker and having the majority of his snaps consist of him taking on a block and being eaten up in the box. I wasn't as, you know, hard on House for that. I do think it was a little bit, you know, it's like, I do question taking your defensive playmaker and kind of putting him in traffic, really, just making him, you know, take on blocks. But then again, I respect that. And I think House said this is like, we're here to develop players. And if he wants to go into the NFL, like, you know, we want to try and develop him into a full, a five tool, if you will, linebacker.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a, you know, can go either way on what's the right thing to do. They definitely have freedom up now. And I think also that, and also I think that has to do with Whit Weeks as well, because Whit Weeks as a true freshman, you know, game one probably wasn't ready to be the guy. He's become more of that guy and taken more of that middle linebacker role and done it very well, to where you don't have as big a hole there and you can afford to take Perkins and let him, you know, move around the field, which is where he is when he's at his best. I remember on the podcast that we did earlier, I said I thought he had the chance to be like the next Will Anderson. This year he has not been that. He still has the talent for it.
Sure. Oh yeah.
And you know, the physical attributes and everything. Just hope that I think he could be a difference maker in this game against Alabama. A big play from him could go a long way. But I mean, one player is not gonna make up for bad secondary no push on the defensive line. So that's something, you know, when we've been talking about this game and breaking it down, I think for LSU fans, we need to score. We need to get up by two or three scores early and step on the gas and not let off, because they're going to, because Alabama was going to be able to score. I don't think that, and you might disagree. I don't think that this Alabama squad is a score on command team that like what, if Bryce Young was quarterbacking, you know, it's just like throw it. He can do it. Or even with that team with Matt Jones and Devontae Smith, that was score on command. I don't think it's that. But I think that this defense will allow points to be up. I think it's going to be a race, and who can, you know, who can score more before the clock ticks.
Well, you may have just answered my next question. And, you know, my fear is that you have a real straightforward, simple answer. But what does LSU need to do to come to Tuscaloosa and leave town with a victory?
Man, I guess I was reading your mind a little bit. I mean, I think it is, you know, I think it's for LSU to win, the way I see it, I think LSU needs to, if I was scripting it, you know, we would maybe get the ball first, we go and we score, then we have a quick stop, we score again, and then it's a trading blows for the rest of the game, and it kind of ends up, I don't know if you watched the end of that Georgia Florida game last week, where, you know, Florida had the ball with like a minute left and they scored, and, you know, it cut the lead down, but because I think it cut the lead down to like 7 points or something like that, where it was like a lot closer than the game actually played out as.
Yeah.
I could see that, where LSU's up, maybe if LSU's going to win, LSU's up two scores, Alabama rolls down the field and scores, and then, you know, then it comes down to attempting a onside kick, and who knows if it goes or doesn't, but then game over. Like, that's how I think it's going to go. I don't anticipate us having some lights out defensive game by any means. I think Alabama is going to be able to score. I think we're going to be able to score that. I would say this is probably not the most locked down defense that Alabama's had over the years.
No, it's our better. We like our defense this year as opposed to, you know, previous years, but you're right. It's not one of Saban's best.
Yeah. The interesting thing that I would be, we did struggle a little bit against, I wouldn't say we struggled in the first half, and of course they have, your old defensive coordinator, but I am interested to see how that plays out, how much of the defense has changed from how y'all are going to approach facing an LSU team that hasn't changed that much on the offensive side of the ball compared to last year.
Yeah.
With a new defensive coordinator and pretty much similar personnel that I think that y'all have.
Yeah, I think so. I think that's going to be an interesting matchup. I really do like our defense, but you guys and Daniels pose a different threat, right? If there was we've played a lot more aggressively. Alabama's played a lot more aggressively on defense. And when there's a statue, in the backfield, you just, go get them. But when you have a quarterback that can tear you up running the ball, then maybe that slows down some of that aggression. So that's going to be interesting to see, how we spy him, how we get after him without letting our run lanes go. And so that's going to be a significant challenge. I like our corners this year, so that's going to be interesting. But they're both going to have their hands full with the receivers that you have. It's not just one guy, but it's a pair of receivers. So that's going to be, that's going to be interesting. The, Milroe, and I love the kid as he's, progressed and grown up and the leadership and maturity that he reflects. There's still this little part right back here where I'm a little concerned anytime he steps back to throw the ball, because he's still working through the mental aspect of the game. And so that's going to be something that'll be interesting to see how that plays out. Alabama's going to play a full half, like the Tennessee game. We didn't show up in the first half. We showed up at halftime. And for this game, maybe the late start helps us. We need to show up from the start and play a full 60. So that'll be interesting. But, the offense, defense, offense, not to oversimplify it, but man, there's a lot of contrast that's going to be fun to see how they play out. Not just because they line up, sort of in a very cliched way, but damn, what you guys bring to the table on offense and the way Alabama's playing defense, and then sort of the reciprocal of that, we're stronger where you're, our strengths line up, right?
Strengths line up, strength and
question against question, right? So,
yeah, exactly.
That's going to be pretty dang interesting to see. Tommy, you said you're not making the trip to Tuscaloosa this year. Is that right?
No, okay. I'm not. Right. I'll be making the trip via CBS.
All right, very good. Well, you'll get to tune in, I guess, to the last CBS SEC sort of primetime event. And if you ever make it to Tuscaloosa, man, hit us up, and we'll make an event out of it. But Tommy, yeah. I appreciate you joining us. It's always a pleasure to talk ball with you. It's just we get incredible feedback for these interviews, because it's just, you guys are just talking ball, and so we love your LSU passion. We love what you bring to the conversation. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Yep, thank you for having me. It's always great to talk.
All right. Well, good luck the rest of the season. How about that?
Yeah, same to you.
All right. Take care. And we're back. What did I tell you? Another great interview with Tommy, Talking Tigs podcast. Tommy's just a really great dude and really knows his Bengal Tigers. And it's always a good time talking ball with Tommy. We even did an off-season or preseason show with him earlier this year. I'll link to this, link to that in our show notes if you haven't heard that. Again, a lot of passion for his team, which is great. We love that. We have passion for our team. We can allow passion across the sideline as well. And Tommy represents his team just about as well as anyone that we have an opportunity to speak with. So I hope you enjoyed the interview. It was another great one. And let's get ready for Saturday in Tuscaloosa. Last CBS game, Tommy points that out for us. There's a great dialogue around that. And let's get ready for Saturday. Doing what we do, roll tide. Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just to shout out a roll tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter,
email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at alabamafootballpodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, Coach? Of course, Roll Tide.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.